So it's the 14th of June, 2024, Bayagiri Monastery. I'm pretty tired right now. Been full on a few days, a few months. This quality of otton, that recollecting in Pali we call kanti, this Thai word otton is a very, very important word for practice. And I find that this quality of its patient endurance, that if you were just to sometimes just thinking the word endure, endure, or don't give up, can be very inspiring. We can encourage ourselves because things are inevitably going to get difficult, even if we don't practice. Actually, it's going to be difficult no matter what. So we do need to find ways to endure. And that quality of otton is actually something which leads to considerable mindfulness. And that's why we practice it. So it's said in the Ovada Patimokkha, Kanti Paramang Tapo Titika, which is Kanti is the ultimate burner up or incinerator of the defilements. Oh, Kanti, yeah, otton is when we come into that quality of endurance, or we are able to tell ourselves, endure, we can endure no matter what. Everything is seen as a wholesome challenge rather than some sort of where we just give in to the difficulties. So where we actually can be quite inspiring, can be quite inspiring to think in this way and encourage ourselves in this way. And no matter how difficult it gets, no matter how difficult it gets, whether we're experiencing some sort of discomfort, we can always think of some sort of inspiring story of someone who endured through that type of discomfort, through that type of difficulty. That's why it's important to read the biographies of Kruba Ajahns, the great meditation masters of the past. Now, the biography, many of us have been reading the biography of Longpa Jia that just came out in the new English translation. It's the most excellent biography, kind of hard-hitting. There's so many stories in there where he had to endure through difficulties, and especially later on in his life. So it's not always about having a lot of energy, because as we age, or even if we are still not that old, we might still have a lack of energy sometimes, whether there's illness or just general exhaustion from just pushing ourselves in various ways. And then there's also the aging process. So as we get older, as people get older, then there's less energy, the energy wanes. And so that quality of otton, not just being something that brings up energy, because sometimes there won't be any energy, but how can there be that sense of encouragement, that sense of self-encouragement when we don't have energy? So how can the mind still be energized or inspired by Dhamma? So otton doesn't necessarily mean we have a lot of physical energy. It doesn't mean we feel great all the time. Actually, it's acknowledging that we don't feel great all the time. In fact, we don't feel great most of the time. Most of the time, it's either just ordinary or there's something wrong. There's some sort of issue. There's some sort of problem that we're dealing with, either internally or externally. There might be some sort of issue or difficulty in our life that we're dealing with. There might be some sort of mental hindrance that we're dealing with in our own practice. And so all of these things call for that quality of otton, patient endurance, and can bring the mind to a sense of coolness and contentment. That's why the next line in the Ovada Patimokkha is the Nibbanang Paramang Vadanti Buddha. So the Buddhas teach that Nibbana is the highest. That's the coolness of heart, the refreshment of heart that comes from that quality of patient endurance leading to mindfulness. And we can also remain very even and very equanimous in the face of inevitable difficulties that arise. And it's also a quality that helps us to have more of a clear mind so we can just learn. And that goes hand in hand with mindfulness as well. That quality of learning how to learn, learning how to move forward in the practice, or learning how to just be with all these things that arise, and not just in an impassive or indifferent way, but actually being with things in terms of discernment. So then that's satipanya. So being with things in terms of discernment. And then we know how to respond. And so letting go is skillful response. And if we use these qualities of practice in order to learn how to let go of things, say there's certain things which cause us to suffer, certain desires or unwholesome habits of mind, or certain things externally to us that might cause us to suffer, or certain ways that we're relating to things, or certain ways that we're viewing the world which cause us to suffer. And all of this can be cooled down by that quality of endurance, of just not giving in, not giving up, and constantly moving the mind in a more wholesome direction. And it's also good to think about, contemplate the wholesome mind itself. So this is kusala citta, and actually gaining a bit of a taste for that. And I think so often we don't really recognize how the mind can get stuck in negativity, and how the akusala citta, the unwholesome mental states, can be bubbling away in the background, but we don't really realize it, and we don't really see it. And so things are slightly uncomfortable. It kind of has an effect, or really has an effect, actually, on the body. So the mind does have some sort of effect on the body when we're upset, when we're angry. That has a very tangible effect on the body. That's a very strong example. But when the nagging criticisms and judgments are percolating in the background, then that also has an effect, and we can fall into just negativity, or look around us and think like, oh, just everybody's having a bad day, and what's going on here? It just seems like everybody doesn't want to be here, and I don't want to be here. And so really it's something that's coming from inside, but it has this illusion of coming from outside. Oh, they forgot to sweep this, they forgot to clean that. Oh, people don't know what to do in that situation. It can find, so it's like a homing beacon looking for things to complain about. And then when the mind gets wholesome, if the mind flips and becomes wholesome, then it's different. Then, everybody seems to be doing really well. Everything is just so much appreciation for how well looked after everything is, and people seem to be doing well, and I seem to be doing well, and everything's good, and I love it here. That's coming from inside as well. So that's the kusala citta, the wholesome mind. So seeing just how that changes everything. It seems like it's coming from outside. There's an illusion that it's coming from outside, but actually it's coming from inside. It's like Frank Sinatra has some Dhamma in one of his songs. When you smile, the whole world smiles back at you. That's some Dhamma. So that's the kusala citta. So we can link that as well with patient endurance, otton, mindfulness and discernment. And I think it's worth reflecting on, worth contemplating just how much of a change, how it changes everything when the mind turns wholesome, and how it changes everything when the mind turns unwholesome. And really the power is ours to affect these things. It's not that we're helpless. It's not that we're helpless victims to the external world. But we're relating to it in a certain way. You could say we're habitually relating to it in a certain way. And something about the Buddha's teachings talks about these different types of clinging. There's the kama upadana, the clinging to sensuality. And that one can seem obvious. So in terms of practice, clinging to various types of sensuality, yes, that's obviously craving. Yes, that needs to be let go of in order to cool the mind, cool the heart down. But then there's the ditupadana, the clinging to views. So I hold that as clinging to views and opinions. And that's much harder to give up. But that one, I think, is a signpost. You can use it as a signpost for practice. So when... And one way to look at this is I've heard about different ajahns in Thailand talking about this, that over time, as the Dhamma, as we practice Dhamma more and the Dhamma becomes more firmly established in the heart, then we will be able to drop things faster and faster. So we might be a little bit upset about something or be irritated by something, we're able to drop it pretty quick after we've been practicing, reflecting on these things for a long period of time, cultivating patient endurance for a long period of time. And one example or one way we can see this is, say, for example, we want something to be a certain way, maybe something in the monastery. And, you know, it's logical and rational why it should be that way. But then maybe somebody else sees it a different way. And we might feel, well, I clearly want it to be this way, and it should be this way. And how quickly does the mind drop that? How long does it take? Does it take a few minutes? Does it take an hour? How long is it before that pressure in the mind falls away and the mind becomes wholesome? So when the mind drops things, it's very joyful. It's a very joyful experience. And when the mind clings tightly to its views and opinions, it's very frustrating. It's very frustrating because it should be this way, and it isn't. So it's frustrating. And it's like, well, it should be this way, and I'm going to push for it to be this way because it should be this way, and I'm frustrated. And then there's that moment where the Dhamma kicks in. Drop it, drop it, drop it. And oh, what a relief. It's just an opinion. It's not even something material. And yet it changes everything. Like, it's fine. Wow. All right. We're still here. I dropped that opinion and we're still here. And the world didn't fall apart. Actually, it was the opposite. Dropping that, because that's the delusion. It's that if we don't push for those things, then something bad's going to happen. But when we drop it, then something good happens. It's almost like magic. So it's a very joyful, very wonderful experience. So when we have these little victories, when we're actually able to drop things, you know, can we keep going? Can we recollect that next time we're clinging to something? So a number of us have been recollecting Lungpor Cha quite a bit. This is coming up to the time of his birthday, which is in Thailand, June 17th, so we're going to celebrate it here on June 16th, that being the Sunday. And just being a great example of someone who was able to drop things, because ultimately that's what we're aiming for. So having these examples of great people, and why were they great? They were great because they could just drop things in the moment. In fact, it wasn't about even dropping things, it just wasn't even picking things up in the first place. So at first we're able to train ourselves to drop things, but then can we get to that point where we don't even pick it up in the first place and that frustration doesn't even arise in the first place? That's something we can aim for. That's something we can aspire to. Because we aren't there yet, we need patient endurance. We need that quality of auton. It's like, all right, okay, the mind is unwholesome, but let's just get through that. We'll get through this. Can't really drop it right now, can't drop it yet, but we'll get through this and reflect on it, be with that. We're going to do this on the evening of the 16th. We're going to start this short Tudong walk, kind of like just a training Tudong walk, just for myself to pass on some skills to some of the more junior members of the community who are interested in walking on Tudong. And we did this training walk. I had a knee surgery a year ago, so I wanted to see how the body holds up, just holding 30 pounds of gear and walking 14 miles, and did that a couple days ago. And just thinking, okay, we left at the hottest part of the day. It's almost 100 degrees, walking up Tomkai Road, and just in the robes, holding gear, pouring sweat, walking. It's hot. What am I doing? I'm just walking. Oh, how am I going to do this? Okay, we've gone half a mile. Okay, we're going to go, we're planning on going 14 miles. We've gone half a mile. It's like, oh, okay, it's already getting heavy, it's already getting difficult, and we just got outside of the monastery boundary. Okay, we passed the workshop. Okay, we passed Casa Serena. It's really, really hot. We're already sweating. But then just keep going, just one foot in front of another. Just keep going. And the shoulders are hurting, not used to carrying the gear. It's been a while since I've carried the gear. And just keep going. Robe is drenched in sweat. Just keep going. Don't have to actually go into that unpleasant aspect of it, but just endure, just endure. And then things change. Things change over time. So, okay, we passed Mount Tabor. We've gone about a mile. And it's also a climb. When you leave a bike area and go north on Tomkai Road, it's up for quite a ways. It's like you're almost going 2 miles steadily up until you're about the level of our ridgetop. And then it evens out and around Appaloosa Road and starts heading down a bit. And then you cross, it turns into a dirt road. You cross 9 creek crossings. And then you've gone about 6 miles and you're at this junction that goes down to Willits, so then going a little bit further, finding a good place to sit down for a couple hours, and then the weather is starting to cool down, and it's changing, and lay out the gear, try out some of the gear that we've carried, the water filters, and finding a secluded place on, they call Tomkai Creek. It's a bit of a bigger creek than Cave Creek, so it's once you get to that other side of the mountain, there's a different watershed, different water system there. It's quite beautiful, quite nice. Sitting down, cooling off, and then comfortable. It's just comfortable. And then after resting for a bit, walking back, getting back around 9:15 p.m. And although for myself, my legs were quite sore, everything was okay. And that's just from, okay, we can just keep going. Yeah, the gear is feeling heavy and legs are sore, not really conditioned to walk in this way. It's been a while, but it was totally okay. And we can make it work. And Lungpa Liam likes to teach that people can adapt to almost any situation. We just have to allow ourselves to be adaptable and to go into a different space, do what needs to be done. So when we can endure, it could push the mind into mindfulness and cultivate the wholesome mind. Learn how to let go of the unwholesome, cultivate the wholesome, and experience that sense of relief and coolness of heart. And these are some things that are worth thinking about in the path of practice, especially when we've been doing a fair amount in the monastery. There've been a lot of activities, wholesome activities, Dhamma activities happening. It's all good stuff, but it can be exhausting. So we do have to have that quality of endurance. So anyway, those are a few reflections for this morning, and I think I'll just leave it at that. This evening? Yeah. This evening. Not morning yet. This evening. I'll leave it at that.